That. Ooh, I'm good now. All right. Good for nothing. All right. But but Sunday rolls around every week, and I get to come to church, and I can't find a... I love starting my week off here. I don't know about you guys. I love starting my week off in church. It just sets the tone for me. You know, I get to be in a place. I love it being here. I loved it when we were at the school. It's not the building. You know, I love you guys. I care about you guys. I care about your family, your friends, and... It starts the week off right, because when I end this week, this morning, when I'm going to tell you at the end of the service, have a great week, I'm going to anticipate that. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I'm going to anticipate that. But I'm excited. We're wrapping up our 40-day study. Anybody been doing that 40-day study? How's everybody doing? Good study, good being a part of it. And here's the challenge this morning. We've been talking for these last 5 weeks. This is the sixth week. And I've been challenging you to serve, to do some good deeds that God called us to serve, that we're supposed to work. We're supposed to do good. Remember Jesus says he not only came to be, he did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10. 45. All right. You guys are with me on that. All right. And we see that. I love the stories. I put that paper, if you get your worship folder out, there's that little paper in there. Tell me what God's up to. You know, email me, let me know. I love the stories I got already. Some of you have already shared some stuff with me, and it's exciting to read that. But as I talk about works, and I talk about good deeds, it brings some confusion. What is real faith? Can you talk about works and faith at the same time? Do works and faith go together? How does it play out? And so I want to say, real faith, if you look at your outline, is good news and good deeds. That's what we've been talking about. But the problem is, when you talk about faith, how often do we talk about works? How often do we talk about good deeds? We talk about faith. And so this morning, I kind of wanted to spend a few minutes talking about that, because I'm going to call it an oxymoron. I gave you a definition of an oxymoron there, a figure of speech in which apparently contradictory terms appear in conjunction. I grew up in Sacramento, state capital. I worked with a lot of people. My mom worked for the state, various jobs through her career. And so I got to know a lot of state workers, a lot of government workers. And I had a statement I used to give them a bad time with. Government workers. You can be a worker or you can be part of the government, but there's no such thing as a government worker. Go to the Department of Vehicle and tell me how fast they work there, right? Come on. You know what I'm saying? That's an oxymoron. You know, the government worker just doesn't work. I got some oxymorons here I thought was good. Jumbo shrimp. Clearly confused. Pretty ugly. Walking dead. Only choice. Original copy. You know, oxymorons, the words just don't go together. And so I want to ask you, does faith and work go together? Does faith and good deeds go together? How do they play out? Because see, we live in this faith is by grace. Look at the scripture. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I memorized that verse as a young Christian. I can quote that verse. It's a great verse to memorize. I am saved by faith, not by works. So what does works have to do with faith? You know, how does that play out? You know, I am saved by faith through grace. And now I'm sitting here in the last 5 weeks telling you guys got to go to work. Is it a bait and switch? Come on in. Here's your grace. Now get out of here and go to work. You got to earn it to keep it, right? You know, you got to work to keep it. Is that what we're talking about? And so I want us to spend a few minutes this morning. What is real faith? So I gave you some definitions of some of the key words there. We have grace, undeserved acceptance and love received from another. That's not just from God. We should show grace to one another, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we have grace for one another? But we need it from God. When used of divine grace toward mankind, it refers to the undeserved favor of God in providing salvation for those deserving condemnation. That was me. All right? God shed his grace on me. I usually use words like this, unmerited favor of God. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. God gives me salvation through grace by faith. You know, and then that word faith, to believe in the good news about Jesus Christ and to become a follower, to be a believer, to be a Christian, Christian faith. It's simply to say, I trust God. I trust God. Faith is simply a trust in God. Maybe you've seen this little acrostic. People take faith and make an acrostic. This is a really nice one. Forsaking all, I trust him. You ever seen that one? F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting God. So we have salvation through by grace through faith. But then he says we don't do works. Works that which are normally done. Work. Task. I put things like acts, deeds, those kind of things. So how do we live with this idea of grace and works? I am saved by faith. It is God's grace. Grace is God's work. Faith is my acceptance. That's it. Now here we're talking about, what about good deeds? What about work? What about serving? How does all that play out? What does that mean? And how does it work? You know, are we saved by grace and then we switch to works? Okay, come on in. And now here you got to go do all this stuff to hang in there. You know, if you don't do all this stuff, it don't count. How does this play out and why does it work? And see, you need to know the church has wrestled this for years. I want you to look at this next passage because here's where the problem comes. Look at James 2. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for their body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I'm saved by faith. Now, what is this work thing? We've been doing this study, and I've been, as your pastor, saying, you got to serve. Serve your family, serve your community, serve your workplace, serve your fellow students, serve. And we've been challenging you to serve through this 40-day study. And what does that have to do with my faith? How does that play out with my faith? You know, I am saved by grace. What's this preacher talking about all this work stuff for? You know, and then here James comes along and says, if you have faith and you don't have works, it's dead. It's dead. You don't have it. You know, you need to know the church has wrestled with this for centuries. It's been a battle for centuries if you look over the church and you look over church history. You know, you go back to what was called the universal church. Now, there was always splinter groups and always splinter churches out there. But there was this major church called the universal church. And they began wrestling with this. In order for them to come up with the answers, here's what they came up with. They call it sacraments. Anybody ever heard of sacraments? Anybody hear of sacraments? You know? Sacraments is, for me and my understanding of sacraments, it's a means of grace. Now, that caused me some confusion. Grace means unmerited. Sacraments means a means of grace. You got to work for grace. You got to do good deeds for grace. You see how the church is wrestling with that? They created this idea of sacraments. Matter of fact, they created seven of them. Yeah. They had seven sacraments, seven things you had to do in order to have grace, in order to go to heaven. Here's these seven things. Now, you couldn't do all seven. Seven was the ultimate, you know. But most of us could not do all seven. You know, unless you're a priest and, you know, they had all, you know, it's all, you know, you had to get married. They had all these different sacraments. And so here the church is teaching this. And all of a sudden in the 1500s, 1400s, there's a little disturbance. It's like there's a problem. And some guy gets a little spur in his saddle. I kind of like saying it that way. Some guy kind of, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know about all this. You're switching the, you know, here's Paul saying you are saved by grace through faith, and now you're throwing these sacraments on us. You know, it's like Gary, the pastor this week, you know, these last 40 days, it's, yeah, you're saved by grace. Now the pastor's throwing these good deeds on us. He's wanting us to do good deeds. How does this play out? And so this guy gets a kind of a spur in his saddle. Now, if you don't understand that, if you ever ride a horse, Anybody ever ride a horse? Can you imagine? Anybody ever ride a bicycle? Anybody ride a bicycle? Anybody ride? Okay. Maybe that's just getting a spur on your bicycle. How's that one? Yeah. You take a little, let's take a little weed with a pin or a thumbtack and put it on the seat of your bike and you sit on it. Is it going to be comfortable? Well, that's kind of what that spur in the saddle was. You know, it's uncomfortable. This guy was uncomfortable with all this teaching. And so he writes down 95 things that is causing him a problem. He says, I want to discuss these things. We need to have a discussion on these 95 things. And the key of that element is that you are saved by faith alone. And he takes those 95 things and he nails them to the church door, which is the discussion point. That's the community bulletin board. He goes and nails these 95 things to the door and says, let's have a discussion on these. Well, they don't get in a discussion. They want to kill him, all right? That's what the church decides. Anybody know a guy named Martin Luther? That's who I'm talking about, all right? Just in case you had an idea who it was, it's Martin Luther. He nailed these 95 discussion questions to the church door and says, let's talk about this. You have these sacraments. You have this structure here that works through faith. You got to do to get that faith and that grace. And it says by faith alone. And so Luther writes, he says, he wants to have a discussion. And it's just faith alone, and they begin debating this. And they want to. They decide they just want to eliminate Luther, you know, and that's going to solve our problem. And then Zwingli comes along, and Calvin comes along. They just, you know, it's over, you know. And so now they're having all this debate. How does it work? What do we do? See, here's the church that's taken faith, and they've added these sacraments and these deeds in order to have salvation. And Luther comes along and says, you are saved by faith through grace, and grace alone saves you. How does that work when you read James? And James says, faith is dead. Look at what he says again. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says, I'm going to read that one verse again. What good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in good daily food, and one says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them things needed for their body, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So how does Luther deal with that? Let me tell you what Luther does. Here's an idea of what Martin Luther did. Martin Luther read that and goes, I don't like that. Tears it out of his Bible, but he can't throw it away because it's God's word, so he puts it at the back of his Bible. All right? I'm going to just ignore it. I'm just going to ignore that part of God's word. Can you ignore part of God's word? Does it really work if you ignore part of God's word? It's like, I'm going to accept this part of God's word, but I'm going to ignore this part. Does that really work? Now, I'm going to tell you what, our society tries that. Some Christians try that. I hope you don't. Yeah. But that's what James was trying to do. He says, yes, it's faith alone, but these good deeds, puts it at the back of his Bible. Listen to again what James says. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your work, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, just so you know, he's saying, you can't show me that, and I can't show you this. That's what he's saying. He's not saying it's possible. As a matter of fact, he's saying it's impossible. Either you have grace and faith with works, or you do not have faith. Does that make sense? How does that balance out? How does that work? You know, what's he talking about, and what's he trying to say here? You can't have one without the other. And so I want to paint a picture here for you this morning. I want to make, you know, what is this real faith? Can I say I have faith and do nothing? Can I come and sit in a comfortable chair, better than our metal ones, right? And say, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Does that work? Yeah. So how does that, do I have to have works to get my salvation? Here's what I want to make sure you get a picture of. I put it this way. If you look at the words here in your bulletin, James is talking about being a Christian. James, how about being a Christian? Here's how you be a Christian. You produce certain qualities in your life. A Christian will have certain qualities about them. And one of those qualities is you will have good deeds. But Paul is talking about becoming a Christian. Do you see the difference? Paul is sitting there saying, listen, if you want to be a child of God, if you want a ticket to heaven, if you want an abundant life that Jesus talked about, if you want to live a good life, here's what you do, Paul says, for by grace you are saved through faith, that is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You become a Christian by grace. You accept that grace of God. Jesus died for our sins. You know, that invisible line that you hear me talk about, that there's this invisible line, that you reach this point where this invisible line is, and you say something along the lines, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life and take control. And you step across that line, and you step across by grace. I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. It is the grace of God that takes me across that line. And I step across that line. But when I step across that line, James is saying that faith, there's evidence. There's proof. I was sitting in the room over here this morning when I was praying. I was looking out the window. And I was watching it. And it was windy. And I knew it was windy. I couldn't see the wind. Can anybody see wind? Does anybody see wind? I didn't see the wind. But I knew it was windy. How did I know it was windy? There's leaves blowing down the street. The trees are waving at me. Yeah. I knew it was windy by the evidence that the wind was producing. Do you see what James is saying? James is saying, yeah, you are saved by faith through grace, but that faith has evidence. That faith has proof. I know it's windy out there because I watch the trees, I watch the leaves, I see what's happening outside. I can't see the wind, but I can see the evidence of the wind. And so these 40 days we've been talking about, and as you're going to wrap up your study, the challenge is real faith. That's not about good deeds. It's about having a real living faith. A faith that is something more than words. A faith that has deeds, that has works. There's proof. Look again, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not results of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now, I have a hard time saying it because I've got it memorized. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See? Can you say it that fast? And I've learned that verse. That's an important verse for me. 17 years old, that verse became important to me. I didn't deserve it. I was not a pleasant kid. My neighborhood knew me as a holy terror. And it wasn't because I was holy. It was because I was a terror. Yeah. And that grace is what God shed on me. For by grace I'm saved. But the problem is we stop right there. You know, we act like, well, Paul's just writing to the church. And I want to make sure you get a picture. Paul didn't sit down and say, I'm going to write to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus chapter 1. Verse 2, verse 3. Paul didn't do that. Paul wrote a letter. We added those verses in the 1500s to help us memorize it, okay? Just so you know that. It was the 1500s when they added the verses. Some guy, one of my professors used to joke about it and say, the guy that did it was riding on a horse, and whenever his pen hit the places where it stopped it, you know? It's just like, okay, you know? Because why? Why do we stop there? Because look at what the next verse says. Ephesians 2:10. One of your memory verses, ha ha. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, our faith produces something in our life. I'm trying to lose weight, all right? I went to the doctor, had blood work done and all this kind of stuff, and I need to lose some weight. I don't want to look like my dad. Yeah. Doesn't you know, as you get older, you look like your parents. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you kids are going, no, I'm not going to. Get used to it. It's going to happen. Yeah. And so I'm getting on this elliptic machine. And I'm using this elliptic machine 3 days a week, 20 minutes a day. That's, okay, that might not sound like much, but that's what I'm doing. All right? At least 3 days a week, 20 minutes. And I haven't seen much results right now. I've been doing it for about almost 2 months again. And it's like, man, that's just not coming off. You know, it's just not going anywhere. Now, I'm discouraged. I want to give up. I want to get off that machine because it ain't helping. Because, see, I'm not seeing any evidence of the exercise. You know, maybe I need to pay attention to what I eat, too. You think that might help? Yeah, maybe that's the other part of it. See, I want to see some evidence if I'm going to do that elliptic machine, right? I want to see some results. But that's what my faith is. When I have faith in God, I want to see some results. I want to see some life change. I want to see some things happening. And see, those are the good deeds that God's talked about. I wrote this down because I want to make sure I said it right. Calvin, anybody know John Calvin? He's a theologian years and years ago. Listen to what he said. Faith alone justifies, but that faith that justifies is not alone. I like that. Faith alone justifies, but that faith that justifies is not alone. I cross that line. I make that decision. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. And I step across that line. But once I step across that line, things in my life begins to happen. There's transformation. There's things changing. And part of that change comes when I serve others. When I serve my family. When I serve my neighborhood. When I serve my community, when I serve my workplace, when I serve my students. Laura and I used to always talk because we were married and going to college and all our friends would come over to our house. And many of our friends were friends that had struggles in their life. And it's like, why do we always draw those who are struggling? Anybody ever feel like that one? You know, every time you turn around, you're solving everybody else's problems. You guys still got your own problems. Yeah. But that was God's work. You know, and I was like, well, maybe I'm just a problem. I don't know. You know. How do we wrestle with that? But I began to realize, you know, that's part of what God wants us to do. See, that faith that I live is seen by the things that blow out of my life. Well, let's see, flow out of my life. Just as I see the wind, there's things flowing out of my life to show that faith, to show that I'm there. See, faith that has no impact, that has no transformation, is dead faith. Is that true? If nothing's happening, that faith is dead. It's no good. Listen to what James says here. Where am I at? Oh, for we are, I already read that. We filled in, we are saved for good works, not by good works. Let's go on down to the next. You believe that there is one God, that's fine. The demons also believe that, and they tremble with fear. If all faith is believing there's a God, guess what? The demons are saved. Is that right? If all it is believing there's a God, the demons believe that. I got news for you. I don't expect to see demons in heaven, all right? I don't think they're on the invitation list. All right? Yeah. The demons believe. See, real faith is not simply, well, I believe there is a God. That's not real faith. I always believed there was a God. I never doubted there was a God. I cannot tell you at a point in my life from the time I remember growing up that I ever believed that doubt there was a God. I always knew there was a God. Never thought much about him. Never crossed my mind to do anything with him. Never thought about accepting him. Never thought about serving him. But there was always a God. And this word, when I was growing up, this was always God's word. It was always the Bible. I always knew there was a Bible. Even when my parents dragged me to church, anybody else been dragged to church? Even my parents dragged me to church. They dragged me to church. Yeah. And I knew this was God. We'd go to church camp. I knew this was God's word. I never doubted that. Yeah. I'm like the demons. I believe there was a God. But at 17, something happened. At 17, that invisible line was real. And my cousin shared that message with me. It changed my life. It wasn't just believing in God. It was going beyond that. Look at what it says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. My prayer for me has always been this. I want to be a part of what God is doing. See, my problem is I'm not one who just lets to sit around. You know, anybody did their Bible study last week? Anybody? We asked the question as you did your Bible study. Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? Yeah. Do you identify the temperature or do you set the temperature? I'm going to tell you where I'm at. Anybody got an idea where I'm at? I set the temperature. Some of you are that way. I want to make things happen. I want things to go on. You know? Others are, we need everybody. That doesn't make you bad. It's just we're different. Yeah. But I'm going to be a doer. I want to make things happen. I've always been that way. So I want to challenge you to have a real faith. A faith that not only believes there's a God, because that's not good enough. If you're sitting here this morning and you think you're secure because you believe there's a God, let me pop your bubble. The demons believe that, and they're not going to heaven either. All right? You got to cross that line. You got to make a decision. Not only do I believe in God and I have that faith, I am saved by grace. You don't have to do anything. You know, you have to jump through some hoops? No. You accept it by grace. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do things your way. Come into my life and take control. It's grace, God. I want to surrender to you. And then you're going to control my life and I'm going to serve you. And serving you, Lord, means I'm going to serve others. I'm going to be a part of what you're doing in the neighborhood. I'm going to be a part of what you're doing in my family. I'm going to be a part of what you're doing in the community. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing. Because, see, I'm a Christian. And you're going to see that. I want to ask you, I don't want to be mean, but I want to be true. Have you ever heard somebody tell you a Christian, and yet you look at their life and you're going, you're a Christian? Now, don't raise your hand and don't look around like you're looking at them, okay? Yeah. But have you ever did that? You know, it's like, you say you're a Christian? I mean, maybe you don't even say it out loud, but your mind is going, are you okay? Yeah. Yeah. Because, see, we expect something. Not to earn it, but because of it. See, because I'm a child of God, I get to serve. I'm having a great time. I get to serve. You know, I'm on the school board, and I'm having a great time on the school board. I'm serving the children of our community. I want them to have a great education. Yeah. I'm involved in the community and various projects in the community. I was on part of the community that got alcohol out of our park. You know, some of you guys don't remember when Blue Diamond was running really well. The workers would go buy liquor at the liquor store, come over to the park and sit down and have lunch. Then I'd have mothers with kids wanting to take their kids to the park. And the guys are sitting there drinking 12 packs, getting ready to go back to work. Yeah. So we talked to the county and got alcohol out of our park. Yeah. I want to be a part of my community. I want to make it a better place. See, I want to serve. I want to challenge you. I want to serve. But I got four things I want you to notice. If you're going to serve, you're going to have a real faith, it's going to take four things. All right? You're going to have these four things. If you want a real faith, it's going to take four things. The first one is you're going to have to count the cost. You're going to have to count the cost. If you want a real faith, you've got to count the cost. There's a price to pay. That initial price, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. That initial price is give up your way. Surrender your way to God. That's that initial cost. You got to reach a point in your life where God, I haven't done too good with my life. If you look at my life, I've made some poor choices. I've been in some bad situations. God, I haven't been where I need to be. God, I haven't handled my life really well. So I'm going to quit handling my life and I'm going to let you handle my life. Does that sound okay? Yeah. God, I'm going to let you handle my life. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad he has. Yeah, I'm glad he's taken my life. I look at where I've been and what I've done, and I feel really good. I'm going to turn 60 years old in a few weeks. And you know what? I feel good about my life. Yeah. Not that I'm perfect, practically perfect, but not that I'm perfect. Yeah. But I surrender that. But then there's other cost. Once I cross that line, once I make that decision, there's other cost. It could be maybe financial cost. And usually, I'm going to be honest with you, financial cost is the easy part. Yeah. How about cost of my time? Cost of my comfort? Cost of inconvenience? Yeah. We get, you know, it's like, I'm comfortable, God. I like where my life is right now. Don't disturb my life. It's comfortable, God. And sometimes God's, okay, we're going to shake it up a little bit. Anybody ever had God shake your life up? Yeah. See, we got to count the cost. If you want to have a real faith, you're going to have to count the cost. You're going to begin, God, I'm in. I'm all in. 100% in. I am in. Count the cost. Inconvenience. Time. Whatever. What's it going to cost you? Family? I'm the only one in my family that goes to church. One of the exciting times is when I shared with you one of the exciting times. I've been going to my aunt and uncle's house for Christmas forever. After my grandmother passed away, we started going to my aunt and uncle's house. I've been going there forever. One of the most exciting times of my life is when I walk in one year and my niece calls me over and goes, Gary, come over here. And she goes, we're going to church. My kids are having a great time and they're going to get baptized. I've been going up there for 20 years and nothing changed. You know, who's going to do the prayer for Thanksgiving dinner? 20 years, you know, and nothing changes. You know, I'm the only one, you know, but now there's others up there. See, are you willing to be that out one in the family? You know, I'll put this next one this way. There, how about reject the fear? Now, the Bible says there's no fear in faith, right? I think that's biblical. I think that's biblical. So let's not talk about fear. Let's talk about being scared, okay? Serving God can be scary. You know, that's not safe, right? But it can be scary. God, you want me to do what? You want me to tell who about you? You want me to do that? I loved our lesson. What are all the excuses? Didn't anybody do their lesson this week? You had all those excuses? I don't know about you, but I ended up with like 20 or 30 of them. Anybody else got that many? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, it's scary serving God. Gary, I want you to go to California Baptist University. It was a college then. You get married in June. You pack everything you have. And you drive down 400 miles to Riverside. You've never been on the campus. You've never seen the school. You have no job. You got $1,000 in the bank, and that's it. And you drive down there. Your brother-in-law and your mother-in-law, we have a truck full of stuff, and you walk into your apartment that the school gives you because you're married, and there's 3 inches of water. Yes, Jesus, you brought me here. Yeah. It's scary. You're out hunting jobs. You're out trying to figure this out. How am I going to pay these bills? You know, we're newly married, and I'm going to tell you, I give credit to Laura, because I'm going to tell you, guys who just get married, don't do like I did. I was 100% into school. And that first 2 years of our marriage is all Laura. That's not the way to do it. She hung in there with me, because I went to school, and I went to work, and she went to work, and she went to school, and it was rough. It's scary. Following God is scary. But don't fear. There's no fear. Follow God. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be difficult times. You're going to have questions. Is that really what God wanted? And then you're going to do something. You're going to go, it didn't go right. It's not working. What am I supposed to do now? And honestly, sometimes, I don't know. See, there's fear. But reject that fear. Whatever it takes, wherever he leads. That's why I enjoy that song that we sing here every once in a while. I wouldn't mind if we sung it more often. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow. Though none go with me, I'm following Jesus. Fortunately, I got a lot of people going with me. See, follow Jesus. Reject that fear. The next one I put down here is face your discouragement. It will be discouraging. Let me give you that. Anytime you serve God, you're going to get discouraged. All right? There's going to be times when things just don't go right. It doesn't quite go the way you expected. Somebody's going to let you down. You know, even your Christian brothers and sisters sometimes let you down. Did you know that? Yeah. There's frustration. There's aggravation. There's headache. There's pain. There's discouragement. When you serve God, I guarantee you, you will be discouraged. Count on it. It's not going to work out well every time. You know, even though the demons aren't going to heaven, they're going to disturb your life. They're going to shake you up. They're going to make it as hard as they can on you. And you're going to get discouraged. I get depressed. I do. I get depressed. There's some Monday mornings I just want to stay in bed. I was telling somebody this week, and I tell you guys every week, this is the truth. I will be here every Monday. I will be here every Monday. Because if I'm going to be depressed, it's going to be on your time, not mine. Okay? Because if I lay in bed, I'm going to stay depressed. I'm going to get up and go do something. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to have those difficult times. But face it. Face it. You're going to be disappointed. People are going to disappoint you. Situations are going to disappoint you. Things are not going to go well. But face it. Now the last one. Fanning the flames. You got to fan the flames of faith. You got to keep that faith burning. You got to work at it. Let me tell you, if you don't care for your faith will go out. It will dim if you don't care for your faith. Now, real quick, I say this all the time. I don't think I say it every week, but pretty close to every week. You need three things in your life. You want to fan your flames, you need at least these three. I'm going to tell you more, but you need these three. You need a church. You got to have a church to fan that flame. Like I say, I come in, I had a bad week last week. I come in here, I'm excited. I'm ready for next week now. Let's go. Yeah. I'm here with you guys. You guys are fun. Put a smile on your face, it makes it even funner, okay? Is funner a good word? I don't know. Where's my English person? Yeah. But it's fun. You know, you gotta have that small group. You gotta have that 5, 8, 10 people who can encourage you, that they know your heart, they know your life. You know, they're there for you when it gets hard and when it's rough, and they're gonna pat you on the back and they're gonna give you a quick kick in the seat of the pants when you need it. You need that small group, that 5, 8, 10, 12 people who's gonna be there for you. You need a church, you need a small group, you need somebody who can say the hard things to you. Somebody look in the eye and say, man, you made a bad choice. Or when you share an idea, it's like, I'm thinking about, they're going to go, you better think again. You need that person to look you in the eye and tell you, that's not good. It sounds good. You ever have a great idea, then it really starts processing and somebody starts talking to you, you go, man, that was a bad idea. Anybody? I've done that. You know what? You want to fan that flame. You need a church. You need a small group. You need that person who can say the hard things to you. You need to pray. Why do we talk about praying and Bible reading every day? You want to fan that flame? You got to read your Bible every day. I don't care if it's one verse. Every day, read something in the Bible. Every day. I'll make it really simple for you. Makes it really easy. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Today is what? The 15th? 16th? What is it? 16th? Turn to the book of Proverbs, turn to chapter 16, and read 16 today. And just read whatever date it is, just read it. If you forget to read it tomorrow, Tuesday, open it up to the 18th and read number 18. Just read one chapter. If you can't do anything, read Proverbs. Then I'm going to tell you, add the Gospels. That's kind of good to read, you know. You get discouraged, read Philippians. That's kind of, you know, I think it's really amazing. Here's a guy sitting in jail writing an encouraging letter. That shows me something right there. Yeah. But read your Bible. Pray. Talk to God every day. You don't need to get on your knees. You don't need to be, oh, holy God. You know, just talk to God every day. Fan that flame. If you don't, it will go out. It will go out. So I give you these four things. Count the cost. Reject the fear. Face the discouragement. And fan the flames. That's real faith. That's a real faith. Something's going to come with that. The wind is going to blow. You're going to see that faith because it's blowing through. It's showing. It's real. And I put it this way. We've been saying it all through this 40 days. Every believer needs a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. You guys have got it. All right. We got it. You need a ministry in the church. There's nursery. There's kids that need your love. Kids that need your just a warm hug. There's children's church. There's ushers. There's somebody sitting in that lobby right now. They still get to see it. Hi, Laura. Laura's out there. Yeah. Find a place to minister. I want to say thank you. We finally finished. I want to tell Brenda and Margaret, and you guys need to tell them thank you. Brenda, Margaret, Gary came down a little bit in the end, and Evie came down during one of the days, but we have redid every flower bed in this place. They did. They came out. We had to rake all that bark out, put a tarp down, or weed barrier down, and put all that bark back in and put a sprinkler system in there. Because, see, the county wouldn't let us put grass in. So we've laid it out for grass, and they said, no, you can't plant grass. So now we got a drip system and a weed barrier, so you're not going to see weeds out there anymore. If you do, pull it, okay? Help us out. But I want to tell you, I appreciate Brenda and Margaret taking that challenge on. Every week, we came down and did one flower bed at a time, and now we got them all done. There's ministry things to do. Somebody needs to come and vacuum this place. Just so you know who dumps the garbage in this place? Me. Friday. I wait, you know, we got Awanas down here on Thursday, and they're throwing garbage away. You know, they got those candy wrappers. They give them candy. I'm not going to say I take any, but they give them candy. But either Friday night or Saturday night or sometimes Saturday, or this case, Saturday afternoon, I came down and went through and picked up all the garbage in all these rooms. Is that the pastor's job? Yeah. There's ministries you can do. It's like, I can't do anything. Can anybody sweep a broom? I'm so aggravated. You need to pray. Here, I'll give you a prayer. You want to pray for your pastor? Pray for this. When I come down on Monday mornings and Tuesday mornings and Wednesday mornings, and the kids, I'm going to blame the parents. Okay, I'm not going to blame the kids. They let their kids walk through our flower beds, and all that bark is all over the sidewalk, and I have to sweep it off. I like to take that broom in. I tell you, it's hard to be a preacher. But there's things to do. I can't do anything. Anybody sweep a broom? I didn't ask if you could fly on it. Let's not go there. Every believer. Look at this last verse with me. He gave himself for us to set us free from every sin. Free. We're set free. It is grace that saves us and to cleanse us so that we can be his special people, children of God, Christians. Who are enthusiastic about doing good things? I want you to circle a word. Can anybody pick what word I want you to circle? Thank you. Enthusiastic. All right. She got it. I want you to be enthusiastic. I am having a great time serving God. I love this church. I love you guys. I pray for you guys. Just so you know, I pray for you guys every week. I pray for you guys. If you're a guest here, that seat was prayed for. Whoever God's going to bring in. I'm excited to be. I want you to be excited. Serve God. It's exciting. It's thrilling to see what God can do. I'm sitting here, and it's exciting to me to sit here and see Daniel. I'm going to point Daniel out. Don't worry, Dan. I'm going to pick on you. He's nodding back there. Tell you how old I am, and tell you how old Daniel's getting, too. I remember when we had our old church, and Linda came walking in the back door carrying Daniel to sit in our church. He was a baby. That's exciting to me. He's here. He's serving God. He's helping. He's being a part of it. all you guys. I can tell things that many of you guys are doing. I want to encourage you, serve God. Let that faith be seen. Let it be real. Let others see what Jesus is doing in you. Just like they can't see the wind, you can say, I have faith. It's like, it's windy out there. How do you know? I just think it's windy. Well, I see the trees moving, the leaves blowing down the street. I see your faith because I see your good deeds. I know you have faith because I see your good deeds. I want to challenge you. Have a real faith. A real faith. You know, I thought about another oxymoron, false faith. There's no such thing. Either you got a real faith or you don't have it. Do you have faith? A real faith. Do others see Jesus in you? I pray with our worship team every week before we come out here. And my prayer is that others will see Jesus in us. That's my prayer. I want people to see Jesus in me. And they're not going to see it because Gary's a righteous person. Because like I said, I want to hit those kids with a broom. There are times I am not righteous. The Bible says my righteousness is as filthy rags anyway. They're going to know I'm a Christian by my good deeds, by serving them, by loving them, by caring for them, by being there for them. Will you join a Servolution? Will you have a real faith that makes a difference? I am saved by grace, but I serve through faith. Do you? I challenge you this morning. Let's look at our memory verse before we close. Last lesson, last memory verse, all right? Last one. You guys are getting a break. Look at this. How do we do this? Remember, you say the reference, the verse, the reference. All right? So let's do this together, and I want to hear you. You ready? Mark 10:43b. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. Mark 10:43b. If you want to know, somebody was asking me this week, maybe this is a good time to point that. You see that B? Everybody, you want to know what that B means? That B means it's the second part of that verse. Like there's a comma in there somewhere. And so it's the second part of that verse. So if you remember, A means it's the first part, B. Sometimes you'll find some C's, not very often. Like I said, when they wrote the Bible, they didn't sit down and write these. And I'm going to write Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. They just wrote. And we added those to make it easy on you and I. And so that's what that B is. But I like that verse. If you want to be great, you must be a servant of all the others. Will you be great? Will you have a great faith? Will you have a great faith? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you save us by grace, that none of us deserve it, that we can't earn it, Lord. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one here who has not accepted that grace, that today would be a day of salvation. That in their heart right now, Lord, they will say something along the lines that, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. Come into my life and take control. Lord, I pray that someone will make that decision this morning. If they do not know you, help them cross that line. Let your Spirit encourage them. Let your Spirit challenge them. That, Lord, for those of us who've crossed that line, help us have a real faith. Not a dead faith, but a real faith. A faith that others see Jesus in us. Not because of a holiness or a righteousness, but because we seek to serve and to be like Jesus. Help us have the eyes of God as we look upon others, that we can have that same compassion He had. Help us see the strength that we can share, the encouragement that we can bring by simply listening, by sharing, and by being there. Lord, help us be your people in this world today, that others may come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We always give an invitation in our church. Invitation.